Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. Today's episode of Locked On Warriors is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting low carb protein bar I've ever had. The promo code Locked On gets $10 off your first box at BuiltBar.com. I'm here today with Charles T. Hamilton, who will have his usual Friday free agent targets later on. But Charles, I wanted to start with this question that I got in my mailbag article that went up yesterday. What's a bigger need for the Dubs next season, passing or shooting? I already gave my answer, and I'll get to that here also. But first, what are your thoughts?
That's a good question. For me, I think it's shooting, because I think besides Steph and Clay, they lack it seriously. And, you know, that's kind of been one of the funniest things with one of the best shooting teams is it's so top heavy and always has been. Michael Mulder is a question mark. You know, I think we all enjoyed his time with the Warriors, and, you know, it looks to be a legit 3-point shooter, but again, people can get hot, and who knows if he's for real or not. But past to him, I mean, who really is a 3-point shooter on that team? Jordan Poole, hypothetically, you know, Eric Paschal, hopefully. And then as far as passing goes, they have Steph, they have Draymond, Marquese Chris is an underrated passer. Paschal, Poole all showed some ability with their passing. And there aren't – I think everyone's got some passing ability. You know what I mean? Like, even if they go get shooters, there aren't guys who can shoot and not make a solid pass. There are good passers who can't just shoot a lick. So I think it's shooting. I think they're fine with their passing right now. Even if they add, you know, a couple solid distributors, that's fine too, but I would go shooting personally.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I went the other direction. I don't know that any of these – I don't think any of the answers are wrong. I guess I just look at – I think of shooting, and I just think purely of shooting. I only think of, you know, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson being able to space the floor, whereas you could still get some scoring production from guys like Andrew Wiggins and Eric Paschal, even though I wouldn't consider them shooters, right? They're more slashers. They're going to get to the rim. I think there's ways to find just general scoring from other places on the roster. But when it comes to passing, I think this team has a pretty gaping hole there. I mean, I'm watching these replays, man, on NBC Sports or NBA TV of these old finals runs and these playoff games and all these things. It's jarring to see how much better of a passing team those Warriors teams were than this team that we saw last season.
Oh, yeah.
The ball is just pinging around. It's whipping back and forth. It's just moving all the time. You've got guys like Iguodala and Sean Livingston just making instant react reads and the right reads, and they're getting guys in position. I just think if you have – and I look at who the playmakers are on this team right now, it's Steph Curry, it's Draymond Green, and that's kind of the end of the list. I agree. The Jordan Poole thing was a nice development. Paschal started showing flashes toward the end of the year. I just don't trust them to run offense. Mm-hmm. And Draymond can't be the only guy that you trust running offense, if not for Steph Curry, because we know Steve Curry is going to want to move Steph Curry off the ball, because that's when he's so effective that way. And when that's the case, Draymond can't be the only guy running the offense. So I go passing, but again, I don't like you're all. I mean, we're also taking into account the loss of Kevin Durant and what he did from a spacing perspective and shooting. So they've lost a bunch of shooting. They've lost a bunch of passing. I don't think there's a wrong answer here, but I do tend to lean more toward passing, because it just feels like that's sort of the thing they need to unlock Steve Kerr's offense.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I am intrigued by Marquese Chris and his ability in the post, which is something that, you know, Steve Kerr has had, a big man who can run the offense through the post. And we saw some of it last year. I'm really to see how big of a role he's going to have with the Warriors, Marquese Chris, because I'm high on him. I mean, people know that. And I think his passing is underrated. But we also know that they are going to look for at least one other big man, if not two. So, I mean, passing is a big thing. And you pretty much nailed it with Iguodala, Livingston, and then obviously Durant. Those are roles they need to fill, and passing is a part of it.
Look, I think either way, this off season, they're gonna address both of these issues. They're gonna address shooters. They're gonna address I think in a major way passing. I also look at the top of the draft as a real interesting way to address that, right? If their major needs on offense, you know, defensively is a whole other thing. They need versatility. I think their greater need in general for this team is just high-end athleticism. I don't know who the good athlete on this roster is right now. They don't really have one. And, or like, I mean, when I say good, like elite athlete, right?
Yeah.
I you could argue that it's Andrew Wiggins, but he doesn't really show that all that often.
I think it's Marquise Chris, but in a position that is probably the least important on the floor.
Yeah, that's a good point. So I look at the top of the draft as a way to maybe do that, to address that need. And there's going to be ways through the trade exception, through the mid-level exception, through minimum contracts that you can, again, address the passing, you can address the shooting. But if you can do the passing or the shooting at the top of the draft, in addition to athleticism, that's a win-win scenario, I think, for this team. So as we approach the draft, I think that's something they keep in mind is, and I think, and the reason I like this question is because it frames the team need in the form of a skill set, not necessarily the form of a position. Where you look at a lot of mock drafts right now, and they just have James Wiseman penciled in there because people look at the Warriors and their team needs as far as position. But we know, you and I know this, that the Warriors don't view their team necessarily as position. They view it as skill sets. Even in getting trading D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins wasn't necessarily trading a point guard for a small forward because there was a need there as a position. It was more what they got from Wiggins from a skill set perspective as far as his length and his ability to move Klay Thompson over. And just, again, in doing that, adding more length to the court. So, but with those team needs in mind, we discuss a few free agent targets next. This is Locked On Warriors.
The world of protein bars is being rebuilt by Built Bar. This is the best tasting protein bar I've ever had. A protein bar covered in 100% real chocolate. It's delicious. With 16 amazing flavors, Built Bar tastes like a candy bar while delivering fewer sugars and carbs, making it better tasting and better for you than any of the competitors. With delicious flavors like mint brownie, raspberry chocolate cream, and toffee almond, Built Bar is like a cheat code for health-conscious men and women everywhere. These bars are low calorie and low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for ketogenic and other low-carb diets. For me, I go back and forth between keto and low-carb diets, and no matter what my healthy eating pattern, Built Bar is perfect for me. One of my personal favorite flavors, by the way, peanut butter brownie, is packed with 20 grams of protein with just 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, and just 3 net carbs. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off of your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, one word, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, Charles, every Friday you come on the show, you bring with you two free agent targets. We debate those two targets. Who would be best for the Warriors? Who are the two targets you brought this week?
So we are going to be looking at the center position today because they have Kevon Looney and Marquise Chris. Hopefully this year has been a get healthy year for Kevon Looney, but there's no guarantee that he'll be able to go for 82 games as good as Marquise Chris has been. And, you know, a great find for them, great reclamation project. He's still undersized. So we're looking at traditional centers. I'm talking 7 feet, 250 plus. And I tried to find two that were kind of similar, but it was hard because this one who I'm going to talk about first is more unique in the sense that he's a stretch five. And that's Myers Leonard. We've mentioned him before. I haven't really gone into depth about him, but he's 7 foot, 260. He's 28 years old. He'll turn 29 during the next season, but a young 28. You know, his minutes haven't been high. He's a shooter, so you know he hasn't been banging around for 40 minutes a game or anything like that. But he's not afraid of contact. Not the best defender. Well, not a good defender. I'll put it that way. But he did start for the Heat this year. 49 games he started for him, just over 20 minutes a game, shot just under 43% from three. He's been over 42% the last 3 years, 39% in his entire career. And one of the reasons why I like him is we've mentioned shooting, but one of the skill sets, which isn't really a skill set, but a trait, I guess, is size. They need size at the five just for certain matchups. It's not something that they need for 82 games. You know, we know Steve Kerr likes to start a traditional center, but a guy with size would be important against Andre Drummond against Joel Embiid. Not to say that any of these guys would, Myers Leonard would stop either of those guys, but he's at least an option that they don't have. And then the next one is a little different because he's taken some threes, but he's definitely not a stretch five. It's Alex Len, who was with the Hawks and then the Kings, right, this last year. And I know the Kings liked him. He played pretty well for them. He's, you know, 7'1", 250. He's physical, big, very traditional center. For his size, he moves pretty well. But that's also kind of saying the guy doesn't move that well. It's a nice way of saying, you know, he's not the the most athletic or anything like that. But he'll be 27 when the season starts. And again, it's just the size trait that the Warriors are definitely looking for. We know Steve Kerr is a big proponent of that. And Alex Len, he played well with the Kings. So one of the questions with these two is, I think you could potentially get them both for the minimum, but I know that the Kings enjoyed Alex Len, and I think Miami doesn't hate having Myers Leonard around, especially considering they might be able to unload Kelly Olynyk and his, you know, $13 million salary and have a guy like Myers Leonard, who can do something similar for, you know, $3 million a year, which would be just out of the Warriors' price range. So if they do hit the market and they're just getting minimums, Warriors should definitely go after them. But the thing that makes me nervous is I think both their teams, you know, wouldn't mind having them back and have the ability to pay them more than the Warriors.
Right. And, you know, what the Warriors could obviously offer is, hey, you sign with us the minimum. Maybe you give up a little bit of money, but you're going to have a chance to go win a championship, right? Where, you know, Miami, they're good. I don't know that they're championship caliber right now in the East, depending on what happens this offseason. And then the Kings, obviously, if you're Alex Len and you want to, like, to me, the Warriors are the team, or is, like, guys like Alex Len have gone to the Warriors to sort of establish themselves. We saw this last summer with Glenn Robinson. We've seen it during the year with guys like Marquese Chris eschewing their offers in order to stay with Golden State. Not to mention that Alex Len, former Suns pick, right? So that's like right up the Warriors' alley. But as far as Myers Leonard goes, the Warriors also have a type, right? When it comes to, they like guys who play well against them. And let's not forget, in the playoffs last year, Myers Leonard came out and made 5 of 8 three-pointers and scored 30 points on them. The Warriors won that game because they ended up sweeping Portland, but this was a game 4, right, to try to stave off elimination if you're Portland. And Myers Leonard stepped up. No doubt they were impressed with that. Plus, Myers Leonard has that skill set that they've been trying to fill for a very long time as far as a floor spacing big. If they had their choice, I don't think it's even close. I think they go Myers Leonard because he does that one thing as far as spacing the floor really, really well. You deal with all the other stuff, the defensive shortcomings, the size shortcomings. Even though he's very tall, I think he's got underrated size. Mm-hmm. I think he showed that in Miami this last year. Whereas Alex Len, yeah, he's your prototypical like Zaza Pachulia sized man, mm-hmm. but I don't know that he does anything necessarily that great where he's going to get on the floor for major minutes, especially important minutes where you can at least trust Myers Leonard in situational minutes.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you. I think it's Myers Leonard by a mile. Not just for what he does. You mentioned, you know, how well he played against the Warriors. He also had major praise for the Warriors and specifically Draymond. And I know we kind of look into it a little too much as fans and media members whenever someone, you know, compliments the Warriors, like, oh, he's going to be a Warrior. But it would make sense. It's a need. He would fit. Also, I overrate, you know, guys getting on the floor with Draymond and Clay and good defenders. But that does help elevate their own defense. I mean, he's still going to have problems one-on-one. Still can't switch out on the perimeter, really. But at least positionally, he'll be better because Draymond is running that defense. Draymond's, you know, the quote-unquote quarterback of the defense, whatever you want to call it. I definitely think it's Myers Leonard. I think he would be a great fit. I think he'd probably start, honestly, and kind of do the same thing that he did in Miami and kind of the same thing that they did with Zaza, where he was the starter in name, but I wouldn't be surprised if Marquese Chris got more minutes than him or Looney. Obviously, if Looney's healthy, he's probably going to get more minutes than him. But that skill set is so important for the Warriors. And like you said, when's the last time they had a stretch big? I think it was Mo Spates, really. You know, to actually stretch the floor past 3-point line, and they've been looking for it. They tried Dragan Bender. That didn't work out. I mean, if they have a chance an actual chance to go get them, I think they pretty much have to.
They're going to want a floor spacing big. It's on their list of things that they want this season, this offseason. That's not going to fill that thing that you were trying to fill by bringing Alex Len into the conversation, right? They're still not going to have that big body. And it's why this entire time I've been saying, I don't think that the Warriors are going to acquire one center. I think they're going to acquire two centers.
Yeah.
And if you can just two birds, one stone this thing and get a floor spacer who's also got size, then I think obviously you do that, but that's a great center. It'd be tough to see how they go about doing that. But if they can't do that, I do think that they're going to add two centers this offseason. I think they're, again, one floor spacer and probably one just traditional big body guy, traditional rim protector type, because I think they need that. I just don't think they need it as much as people think they need it. That's a position where, like you said, you go up against the Embiid, the Jokic, the Andre Drummond here and there, but you're not going up against those guys all the time now, right? No. It's every 1 in 4 or 5 games. So that's all you need is probably a guy on the minimum who's big enough who, you know, every 4 or 5 games you can roll him out there, but otherwise probably isn't getting a whole lot of minutes, if any. And that's the guy you want on the minimum.
I was going to say, you know, Myers Leonard by a mile, but at the same time, both of them. Because like you said, Myers Leonard does not fill that secondary need of being a banger, you know, for lack of a better term. And yeah, there's a couple other names out there that could fill that need where they would fit that need a little better, just not just the size and physicality, but the fact that they'd probably be fine being that role player, being that guy that is very situational, you know, the 13th man on the bench. Not to get into too many of them, but a guy like Bismack Biyombo, you know, he's out there. There's definitely options to fill that need outside of Alex Len, because even though he's not an all-star, I think he would not, you know, love having that role. He could find a better role somewhere else, I think.
We'll wrap it up with this question, because I was asked this the other day. Your confidence levels in Kevon Looney as far as penciling him in as a rotation piece. What is your confidence level next season with Kevon?
Low. You know, I would love to say it's high and he'll play 82 games and be the you know, guy they found with the 30th pick and made him into a solid center, a good offensive rebounder, all that stuff. But it just seemed like this year, just everything went wrong for him. And I'm hoping that, you know, I'm wrong, but yeah, I'm coming in pretty low expectations, honestly. And also I think that factors into them going out and getting two centers because you just cannot count on Kevon Looney, which it sucks.
Right. I know Kevon's camp is optimistic because they have to be, but also because this is the first time that Kevon Looney hasn't gone through an NBA Finals run since he's come into the league, right? And obviously because of the postponed season, and even if the season comes back, the Warriors aren't going to be playing Kevon Looney. They're just going to roll out whatever other centers they have. So this is going to be the longest offseason by a mile that he's ever had. But with that also comes this fact that if he's not right by the beginning of next season, and you're going to be, and we're going to know, right? Like within the matter of games, we're going to know if Kevon is right or not. If he's not, his career might be over. And I hate to say it, but I just, if you can't get right after this long of an off season, where right now, all he is doing right now is rehabbing and working and resting and getting healthy. That's his whole goal this year, this off season, this summer, is to get his body right while he's doing that. And if he can't get into playing shape next year, it could be done. And that's interesting because the Warriors signed him to a 3-year, $15 million contract, thinking not only that they were surprised that they got him because they thought he was going to get poached by another team. And they got that deal thinking it was a bargain. And now that might look like an overpay. And right now, if I had to make a decision, I would say it's an overpay because I don't know if he'll ever be. I do know one thing. He's never going to be your starting center, I don't think. He's not going to be the guy who is playing 25, 30 minutes a night, which they hoped that he could be that. I don't think his body will ever allow him to do that because the health concerns are not new. This is the reason why he slid to 30 in the NBA draft. These are things that have followed him throughout his entire basketball playing career. And it just feels like they're sort of, it was like worst case scenario last year. And so for him to get right, I'm pessimistic. I'm not optimistic.
Yeah. And you mentioned it too, the money. I mean, they're on the hook for $10 million over the next 2 years, which isn't huge money or anything like that. But for a team like the Warriors in the luxury tax, that every penny counts. And if you're not getting anything from them, then yeah, that's a sunk cost.
All right, let's get out of here. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you can, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. When we get done here, you can tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of other Locked On Network podcasts, including Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Use the promo code Locked On to get $10 off of your first box at builtbars.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Have a great weekend.